You may want to begin looking for the book of Zechariah, not Zephaniah, Zechariah. He's about, in my Bible, if you find the New Testament, he's about 5 pages back. That's all he is. If you find the beginning of the New Testament, just go back. So Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, New Testament, Zechariah, chapter 11. We're still practicing social distancing. Every other row is still taped off. Looking forward to July 4th weekend. Presumably the state will open back up. Our youth classes will resume on that weekend, the 4th of July weekend. All goes well. Continue to practice social distancing. Continue to practice exceptional care for our seniors. Like my parents, Patsy, Pat, Donna, Sharon. Sharon, you're not really. Kinda, yeah, okay. No. 84. Look who's back over here. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So practice care with everybody and exceptional care with these ladies and folks here, my dad and grandma. So we want to take care of them. You know this, we hid from the virus for a while, but the virus did not go anywhere. We are just back out of hiding now, back into the public, and it's still there. So if you have concerns of that, just be very careful. But we have hand sanitizers and masks and indoor plumbing to wash your hands. So we'll do everything we can for you so that you feel like you're safe when you come here. That's the best we can do. We're going to do everything we can, but in reality, it's still out there. So please be careful with that. Zechariah chapter 11. This is going to be hard for me. I'll need your forgiveness. I'll need your grace. I think even last weekend, I was getting tongue-tied, and instead of saying Zephaniah, I was crossing it up and going Zephaniah, Zechariah, Zephaniah, and I think I was saying both. But it's going to get worse maybe this week. But Zechariah chapter 11. Here's the easy way for you to remember the difference between these two. So you know that there was a 70-year captivity of Judah in Babylon there. You know that captivity, that time. Zephaniah is right before it. Zechariah is right after it. So Zephaniah, Jeremiah, all of them were trying to warn them before they went into that captivity. Zechariah is right after it. They came out, they went back, they started to rebuild their town. They were already getting sluggish, they were already getting weak, already kind of wearying and turning away, I guess, from the Lord. And so Zechariah comes in at that point. The next great biblical event when Zechariah is speaking is Jesus, the birth of Jesus. So there would be 400 silent years between Zechariah and the birth of Jesus. He's about 500 before Jesus. There would be 400 of those. We don't have anything, any biblical writings or anything. So his next great event is the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. And as you read through Zechariah, it's a really colorful, figurative book. There's a lot of things nobody can be exactly exact about, but there's also a lot of messianic things. There's a lot in there about Jesus and a lot in there about the coming day of the Lord when He comes back and makes things right, becomes the King. So that's Zechariah in a nutshell. A lot of figurative, illustrative things, interesting pictures of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 11 is one of those things. The subtitle in my Bible, that's not inspired, but the subtitle reads, "The Flock Doomed to Slaughter." So that's an interesting thing since they've just come back from captivity. he's prophesying about the flock doomed for slaughter. He's already prophesying there's trouble ahead, guys. You're a little sluggish here building this, but there's trouble coming. And so let's read a little bit about that trouble. Zechariah chapter 11, the first three verses are that judgment, wailing, ruin, it's coming. Beginning at verse 4, pay close attention. This is the Lord saying to Zechariah himself. This is the Lord speaking to Zechariah and telling him, this is what I want you to do. Verse 4. Become shepherd of the flock doomed to slaughter. Those who buy them slaughter them and go unpunished, and those who sell them say, blessed be the Lord, I've become rich, and their own shepherds have no pity on them. So he is telling Zechariah, and nobody knows whether this is literal, whether Zechariah actually went out and hired himself on as a shepherd, or this was in some sort of a dream or a vision. But Zechariah was told to become a shepherd over a flock that was waiting for the meat processing plant. That was, the whole flock was going to be slaughtered. Now, this is after the Babylonian captivity. All right, so we're really looking forward to the Roman destruction of Israel in about AD 70 first. But he is told, I want you to go hire yourself on as shepherd of this flock that is going to go to the meat processing plant. They are going to be destroyed. And that would be Israel. So this is not good news, right? All right. So notice in these first verses, there are buyers and sellers of the flock. We don't think anything of that. People that buy and sell cattle, lambs, sheep, go to the stockyard, they get butchered. We don't think anything of that, but it was very different in their day. Very different. Wasn't good, right? You raised things, and you might take some for food sometimes. You might get milk from them, do different things. But you just didn't buy them and sell them to kill them, right? So there are buyers and sellers of this flock, and they go unpunished, it says, verse 5. Those who buy them slaughter them and go unpunished. And those who sell them say, oh man, the Lord has really blessed me. And that's kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing going, no, not really. But they're praising the Lord for this sin, this disastrous heart attitude of theirs. I'm just going to sell these people and become rich by them. So buyers and sellers of the flock, Israel. And then it says, blessed be the Lord, I've become rich, and their own shepherds have no pity on them. So Israel has buyers and sellers and shepherds, people who are supposed to be shepherding and caring for them spiritually, and they don't even have any pity on them. They don't care about them. So, nobody knows exactly who these are. Nobody knows exactly who the traders are or who the shepherds are. But we can generally look at it and go, who was buying and selling, taking ownership of this flock? He's probably talking about the other nations like Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and then Rome. They had the ultimate authority over this flock. And they were the ones, Rome was the ones, who would slaughter them in that time. Babylon was the one who came in and slaughtered them and took them captivity. We can't be positive of that, but it is an ultimate authority over them. Who are the shepherds? Well, he doesn't tell us exactly, but we know that a shepherd is one who cares for and is supposed to nurture and feed the flock. So is it like scribes, Pharisees, elders, something like that? Presumably so. It's presumably their own shepherds who are supposed to be leading them out to pasture. It's probably that leadership, but we can't say exactly, but probably that's probably right in some way. And we're going to find out that there are three shepherds. There are three. So, you know, a lot of guys have kind of guessed and said, yeah, it's the scribes, the Pharisees, and like the Sanhedrin or something like that. Well, we don't know exactly, but we know it says there's three, okay? But even their shepherds, their spiritual leaders, pastors, they don't pity them. They don't really care about the sheep, okay? So, verse 6, for this is God speaking. Remember, God's telling him, you go pasture a flock that's doomed to slaughter. Their buyers and sellers don't care. They're just making money, getting rich. Verse 6, for I will no longer have pity on the inhabitants of this land, declares the Lord. Behold, I will cause each of them to fall into the hand of his neighbor, and each into the hand of his king, and they shall crush the land, and I will deliver none from their hand. Now, this is really a dark prophecy for people who just came out of captivity to go, really? Here we go again? Is this going to happen again? So in about 500 years, it would. Verse 7. So, and this is Zechariah, so I became the shepherd of the flock doomed to be slaughtered by the sheep traders. And I took two staffs, and that's very common for a shepherd in this time to have two staffs, one to kind of lean on and work the sheep with, and one for protection. It may have had some sort of weaponry on the end of it, a knife, a stone, something. One to shepherd, one to protect, but two staffs was not uncommon. I took two staffs and I named them. One, favor. The other I named union. And I tended the sheep. He tended the sheep with favor and union. He tended the sheep with grace and love and kindness and favor and union or bands. They were tight. They were a close-knit bunch. I tended the flock with these two staffs. Now I want you to know that Zechariah is in the place or figurative of Jesus. Okay? He is tending, he is the true shepherd of Israel who tends the flock with favor and unity. Okay? So he is really in the place, figuratively, of the Messiah, of Jesus. So he says, and I tended the sheep. Listen to what he says in verse 8. In 1 month I destroyed the three shepherds. So in this dream, he didn't murder three shepherds, but in this dream he displaced the three shepherds. Whether it's the Pharisees, the scribes, whatever it is of this spiritual, nurturing, shepherding body of Israel, Jesus replaced them, threw them out. Okay? Jesus is the only true shepherd. But, verse 8, I became impatient with them, and they also detested me. So we do know that Jesus was wearied by their constant disobedience, the constant pursuing of him, the constant questioning, the constant in and out, in and out, in and out. We like him, we don't like him. And Jesus was wearied, we do know that. And they detested me. And this word detested, that's a pretty good word for what they felt. They loathed him. So I said, in verse 9, I will not be your shepherd. What is to die, let it die. What is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed. And let those who are left devour the flesh of one another. and I took my staff favor and I broke it, annulling the covenant that I had made with all the people. So it was annulled on that day, and the sheep traders who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. So as this shepherd shepherds this flock, the sheep begin to detest him, and he grows impatient with them, and he finally says, "That's it, I'm done." And he turns away, and as Zephaniah says, he says to them, "You'll just have to wait for the day when I return and become your king." And so that's where they're at. And in this waiting period for Israel, whoever dies, dies. And whoever's destroyed is destroyed. And the people themselves begin to devour one another. This band unity is also broken. And the people just begin to pick and hurt. So I liked verse 11. The sheep traders that were watching him do this, they knew it was the word of the Lord. And that reminded me of the centurion watching Jesus on the cross, who said, "Surely this must be the Son of God." The sheep and the shepherds loathed him, detested him. But even the traders, the ruling authority, knew this is the word of God. The shepherd, Jesus. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, okay, where can we find something about Jesus, the true shepherd? Well, in John chapter 10, you can find quite a bit about the shepherd. John chapter 10 gives us some insight into the shepherd, and it agrees very well with Zechariah 11. Listen as I read. John chapter 10. Now, Jesus is trying to communicate with these sheep. He is the shepherd of the flock, and he is trying his hardest to communicate to his disciples and to the sheep. And listen what he says. "Truly, truly, I say to you," this is verse 1, John 10, 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So he just told them, the true shepherd just comes in through the gate, and the gatekeeper opens the gate so the true shepherd can come in. And it's very interesting that there are sheep that know his voice and follow him, and they won't follow another person in that sheep pen. They know their master's voice and they follow him. And his sheep from that pen come out and follow him. So he's saying, I have sheep in Israel who know me and know my voice, and they will follow me. And I've come in through the gate, and the gatekeeper, God, opens the gate, and I come in, and I get my sheep, and I take them out. And anyone else coming into the sheep pen is a thief and a robber. They're not here to care for you. That's what he's trying to say. But they did not understand it. So he tries again, and he turns it just a little. Notice what he says in verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, okay, try this one. "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers." Again, so he keeps using this. These other ones are thieves and robbers, thieves and robbers. "But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Okay, so now he's the door, and I'm here. I'm the shepherd. Anybody who comes in through me, the door, you come in to tend and care for your flock. If a person comes in through Jesus to the flock, to care for the flock, they're a shepherd. They're a good shepherd. But anybody else who comes to the flock is not. They've come to hurt you. Verse 11. Let me turn it just a little bit. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And this is good for me and you right here, verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So he has a couple of flocks, and you and I are one of them, the other sheep, not of that fold of Israel, but the same things apply. He is the good shepherd. Hired shepherds, hired people don't care for the flock. He lays down his life for his flock. And his flock know him. And they go to him. But the others don't. They leave. They abandon them. They sell them. They use them. They want to make money off of them. That's all they're about. And so he's trying to teach them, the one who really cares for you, the shepherd who really cares for you, flock, is Jesus. And anyone who comes into the flock bearing Jesus cares for you. Your care is found in Jesus. Anyone else is hired. They're here to make money. They're here for the profession of the ministry. They're here for their name. They're here because they like it. It's a fun job. They're here for something else. But the true shepherd, Jesus, and his shepherds who come into you through him, they're the ones that care for you. You will find your care in Jesus. And my point, my number one absolute point I want you to get today in America, there is so much going on. You can name about 5 or 6 different things right now. Your care is still in your shepherd, Jesus. Not hired servants, not the buyers and sellers and traders, not the culture who wants to move you around and buy you and sell you and put you here and put you there, not the hired servants who want to make money off of you, who want to make a name off of you, who want to raise this kingdom they call their church. Your true care today, with everything going on, your true care will still come from Jesus. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. Now, more than ever, I and you and us, this flock, need Jesus. And anyone who comes to you with any other slogan, any other direction, any other protection, any other thing you should be doing is a thief and a robber and is not going to help you, but will probably destroy and harm you. Because what we need is Jesus. I don't need to hop on the cultural bandwagon. I don't need to black out my Facebook page. I don't need to do what they're doing to survive this. I need Jesus. And He's alive. And He is the Good Shepherd, and He will care for me. And He will care for you. Because He's the one. He didn't kill. He laid down His life for us. He is the Good Shepherd. We need the living Savior, Jesus. Now, that is the care we need. Don't listen to shepherds pointing you to jump into the cultural bandwagons and trends. That's not where our care will come from. We need Jesus. So my first question before we move toward the second segment is who's going to care for you? It's the one who enters by the door, through the gatekeeper, God. Who is going to care for you? The door and those who use the door. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, not the hired hand. That's who's going to care for you. All right, I'm going to show you this now. Zechariah chapter 11. Couldn't decide if I was going to show it to you here in the second segment or now, but I'll show it to you now. Our Savior's alive. Our Savior is fully capable of saving us, protecting us, feeding us, nourishing us, shepherding us, bringing us in and out of the sheep pen for rest, for nourishment, for protection. Our shepherd, Jesus, is more than enough for this day and age in America. And you and I need Him in big doses right now. We do not need culture. We have a lot of shepherds in our culture, pastors, teachers, a lot, leading us, pointing us into the fray of culture. They're thieves and they're robbers. And I want you to notice in Zechariah chapter 11 why they're there. Verse 4. Zechariah, become a shepherd of the flock doomed to slaughter. Those who buy them slaughter them and go unpunished, and those who sell them say, blessed be the Lord, I've become rich, and their own shepherds have no pity on them. Why? Why is there such a mess of authorities and shepherds pointing their churches and the church people away from Jesus and into culture? Why are they there? He tells you in verse 6, for I will no longer have pity on the inhabitants. They are pictures. There's no pity coming from these false shepherds. These traders just want to buy and sell and make money off of them, and the shepherds are not helping them. Why? They picture they're a response to God saying, all right, you want culture? All right, you keep turning from me? All right, you keep wanting to go your own way, sheep? All right, you keep wanting to do your own thing. You can protect yourself. You'll run into culture. All right, I'm done. I have no more pity on you. Follow the traitors and the hired sheep pastors. Go ahead. I have no more pity on you, but I'm going to send you a shepherd. This is the true shepherd. This is what you need. And again, you will turn from him because you want to go your own way with your shepherds who really don't give a rip about you. And the authority and culture who really don't care about you. You have one shepherd who does, and you detest him, is what he said. You can't stand him. He's impatient with you. You just keep turning and going and turning and leaving him and going your own way and adding this and jumping into culture, and that's your answer, and we need to do this and that, and you detest him. So there. There's your shepherds. You want them? You want them? They're huge. They make millions of dollars. They have radio shows and book sales and sell CDs. And you have culture. You have scientists and government. And you have traders. And you have people that just want to move you around. And you want them? There you go. They have no pity on you because God has no pity on you. They picture the pitilessness. I've turned you loose. Romans chapter 1. I've given them up to the passions of their flesh, to the thoughts of their mind and their hearts. I've given them up. And though they know, that anyone who does these things is deserving of the wrath and the death of God. They not only do them, but they glory in those who do. And I've given them over to it. And to their shepherds. And to those authorities. There you go. They're all yours. But my sheep, they know my name. And they won't follow them. They follow me, the good shepherd. And I take them in and out, in and out. And they feed and they rest and they lie down in the green pastures. And they're protected by me and my two staffs. And I take them in and out as I want. They know my voice and they follow me. That's why we have such a mess in America. Because we have so many hired shepherds and authorities over us. And we run after them. We don't know the voice of the true shepherd. We think they're going to care for us and they're taking us to the slaughterhouse. You and I need Jesus. We need Jesus more than we need anything. He's alive. And if you're His sheep, you hear His voice. And you run to Him. And you run to Him. We need Jesus.
Would you please stand with us? I was sitting there listening to Pastor Terry, and I'm like, this next song we're singing starts out, "Men will try to rule the world you've made."